Again, good morning, and thanks for being part of Echo Church Online and for inviting us into your home. I'm so excited for you to hear from our special guest speaker today. Let me share a couple of important notes, and then we'll jump right in. If you need prayer or if you'd like to get connected, simply text STEPS to 94253 or click on the link in the pinned comment on Facebook and on YouTube. I also want to ask you to not just watch today, but to engage online. When you hit the like button and comment, you're helping others engage that are watching online right now. I also want to encourage you to hit that share button. You never know what someone in your sphere of influence is going through. Your simple share could be the miracle that they have been looking for. I want to keep celebrating so many of you that are giving faithfully during this time. There's a lot happening financially in America, which means needs are on the rise. Yet your continued generosity is allowing us to come alongside those that are hurting. All right, let's get to the sermon. Today, you're going to hear from my favorite author. Moreover, when I'm looking for someone to encourage me and to pastor me, I listen to his podcast. You've been learning from him for a long time indirectly. Today, you'll get the chance to hear from him a little more directly. Pastor Mark Batterson is one of the most influential Christian writers in America today. He's the founding pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., with 7 campuses across the metro area. They also own and operate Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, and the D.C. Dream Center. Mark is a New York Times best-selling author with 18 books under his belt, including his smash hit, The Circle Maker. In an only God moment, Katie and I ran into Pastor Mark and his wife Laura while visiting DC back in 2019. And my daughter Ava and I got a behind the scenes tour of their operations about a year ago in May. I absolutely love learning from him, and today you'll get the privilege of doing the same. Why don't you grab out your Bibles and let's open our heart to hear from God's word, and I'll be back at the end of the service.
Well, greetings, Pastor Chad and Katie and Echo Church. Mark Batterson here in Washington, D.C., excited about your series, New Normal. Thanks for letting me be a part of it. Going to share a message titled Valley of Giants. In Christ, you are nobody's underdog. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so believing that the best is yet to come for your life and your church, God bless.
1932, two brothers were playing basketball on their family farm in Hillsdale, Wyoming. The older brother, 6'5", younger brother, 5'7", a classic David versus Goliath matchup. Younger brother couldn't even get off his shot, but it's not because he was vertically challenged. 100 years ago, game of basketball was played on the ground. The jump shot didn't even exist yet. The only shot was a set shot, and it was shot with two hands from the chest. The older brother said to the younger brother, Kenny, this is not the game for you. It's for big men. It's for tall men. Kenny could have quit, but he dared to be different. He did something that had never been done before. Kenny Sailors jumped into the air, put his hand above his head, and shot the ball with one hand. I had no idea who Kenny Sailors was until 1 week ago. A friend of mine let me screen the documentary produced by Steph Curry called The Jump Shot. And I have a new hero. Listen, Kenny Sailors may be the best basketball player no one has ever heard of. In 1943, he led the Wyoming Cowboys to the NCAA championship at Madison Square Garden. He was the tournament MVP. Now, I want to show you a photograph that changed the game of basketball forever. In January of 1946, Life magazine publishes this picture. I want you to take a good look. Kenny Sailors is elevating above his defender. He's shooting his patented jump shot, and everyone else's feet are on the ground. That shot captured the imagination of the next generation. It gave them permission to play the game a different way. Every breakthrough requires someone who is bold enough and brave enough to do what hasn't been done before, and that goes way beyond basketball. Your brave is someone else's breakthrough. I want you to hold that thought. Last week, we prayed our way through. We worshiped our way out of the valley of crisis. This weekend, we venture into the valley of giants where a shepherd boy named David duels with a giant named Goliath. Now, your giant probably has a different name. Right now, for millions of people, it's named COVID-19. 26 million Americans unemployed. That is a huge giant of financial proportions. Listen, a giant is any situation, emotional, relational, physical, financial, spiritual, that overshadows us with anxiety or uncertainty or insecurity. What do you do when your problems are 9 feet tall? Well, if you have a Bible, I want you to meet me in the Valley of Elah. You will find it in 1 Samuel 17. If you're at our online campus, check out that notes tab and you can follow along. Few phrases are more famous than David versus Goliath. It's the quintessential matchup. It's the classic underdog. The irony is that we read the story the wrong way. We think David is at a disadvantage. If you're engaging in hand-to-hand combat, yes. No way David defeats Goliath in a cage match, but David's biggest disadvantage, both in terms of size and in experience, actually is his greatest advantage. You see, Goliath was infantry. All he had was a ground game. All he had was a set shot. David is artillery. He used the skill set that he had cultivated as a shepherd, took a jump shot with his slingshot, and Goliath didn't see it coming. If you want to repeat history, just keep doing it the way it's always been done. If you want to make history, if you want to get out of the valley of giants, you've got to change the game the way Kenny Saylor's changing a game of basketball with his jump shot. You have got to change history the way David changed it with his slingshot. Malcolm Gladwell is one of my favorite authors. That's no secret. In his book, David and Goliath, he cites a fascinating study by Eitan Hirsch, a ballistics expert with the Israeli Defense Forces. According to Hirsch, an average-sized stone hurled by an expert slinger could travel the length of a football field in 3 seconds flat. At that velocity, its stopping power was the same as a .45 caliber handgun. Now listen, Goliath's sword is the size of a weaver's beam. Scripture says that the tip of his spear was 600 shekels or 15 pounds. That is incredibly impressive. But Goliath, he brought a knife to a gunfight. Couple of fun facts. First of all, the stones in the Valley of Elah are no ordinary stones. According to geologists, they are comprised of barium sulfate, which means they would be twice as dense as normal rocks. Now, I'm actually holding one in my hand. I picked this up in the Valley of Elah a few years ago. And I have to admit, the agent was a little confused when I had all these rocks in my luggage, but I did make it through customs. Now, David's rock probably would have been a little bit larger than this, maybe even the size of a baseball, but whatever size it was, it packed a punch. Second fun fact, if medieval tapestries are accurate, then ancient slingshot shooters would actually hunt birds with their slingshot. How crazy is that? Experienced slingers like David would have been able to hit a target from 200 yards away. So we think David is the underdog. No, Goliath is a sitting duck, and he's a pretty big target. Here's the bottom line. Goliath's strength was his weakness, and David's weakness was his strength. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:25. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God chose the foolish things, the weak things, the lowly things, the despised things, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. David's victory was not improbable. It was inevitable. David looks a little foolish going to battle with a slingshot, but there is no way artillery loses to infantry if David simply shoots his jump shot. I know giants are big. I know giants are scary. And the truth is, you need giants in your life. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it takes a Goliath to discover a David. The valley is where we discover who we are, where we discover who God is. Your problem may be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than God. You know, it's interesting. We sometimes think of miracles in categories, right? Big, small, easy, difficult, possible, impossible. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. To the infinite, all finites are equal. David says, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin." It's almost like David's doing this little ancient finger wag. And he says, "I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the God of Israel's army, the God thou hast defied." This is not David versus Goliath. This is Elohim versus Baal, and it is no contest. David says, "The Lord saves, not by sword or by spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord." Do you know that today? That the battle belongs to him. Kind of a little bit of fun. I watched The Last Dance like anybody who grew up in Chicago while Michael Jordan was playing for the Bulls. In fact, I could hardly go to sleep Sunday night because of the adrenaline flowing through my bloodstream. One of my favorite Jordan moments, the Bulls are playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Jordan drops 69 points on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then this role player, Stacey King, comes off the bench, one free throw, scores 1 point. So after the game, the reporter is asking him, "Hey, how are you going to remember this epic game?" And I love what Stacey King said. He said, "I will always remember this as the game that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points." Listen, we give David a lot of credit right here, but David wins this victory because God is on his side. Now, let me set the scene. Saul, son of Kish, coronated king of Israel around 1046 BC. I think his kingship is epitomized by two moments. 1 Samuel 14:35, it says, "Saul built an altar to the Lord." So far, so God. But one chapter later, 1 Samuel 15:12, it says that Saul built a monument to himself. And this is the beginning of the end. The Lord sends the prophet Samuel to Jesse of Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. Jesse lines up his seven sons. And curiously, Samuel doesn't pick any of them. And he has to ask Jesse, "Do you have any more sons?" And he says, oh yeah, "I have my youngest son. He's out tending sheep." Like, this has got to hurt, right? Talk about a father wound right here. Your dad doesn't even take you to the tryouts. If you feel forgotten, if you feel left out, if you feel looked over, you are not alone. But you know what the Lord says? Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And David, though very imperfect, was a man after God's own heart. And so Samuel anoints David the king of Israel. Most scholars believe he's somewhere between the age of 10 and 15 years old. Now, let me fast forward a few years for some more backstory. At the end of his kingship, King Saul has all kinds of issues, hard to pinpoint on the DSM-5, but the only thing that would seem to alleviate his symptoms is hydroxychloroquine. I'm kidding. The only thing that would alleviate his symptoms is music therapy. Saul actually employs a personal musician to play the harp whenever he is sad or mad. The musician's name, little drum roll at home right now, David. And the plot thickens. Now, let me hit pause and get practical. When I find myself in a valley of crisis or a valley of giants, I do what Saul did. I do worship therapy. How? I put on my noise-canceling headphones, and I put on repeat the worship songs that stir my spirit. If you're at our online campus, I actually have a few songs in the notes tab that top my chart, and you can borrow a couple of those if you want to, but here's the challenge. Would you make your own worship playlist? Would you put it on repeat? And you tell me if it doesn't begin to shift the external atmosphere and shift your internal reality. All right, we're going to venture into this valley of giants, verse 2. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah, drew up battle lines against the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with a valley between them. For 40 days, there is a standoff between these arch enemies. And the question is, why? Why would you not just fight? Well, I think part of the answer is topographical. Whichever army attacked first would be at a significant disadvantage because they would be fighting uphill. So they're kind of waiting for the other army to put themselves at a disadvantage. But there is another reason. In ancient warfare, it was not uncommon for armies to choose a champion to represent them in what was called single combat. So it was one-on-one, it was winner take all. And that's what's happening right here, verse 4. A champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span of almost 10 feet. Now, the only thing bigger than his biceps is his mouth. He is taunting and scoffing and trash talking the Israelites. Verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Question, who are you listening to? If you listen to the enemy, you're going to end up dismayed and afraid. Scripture calls him the accuser of the brethren, calls him the father of lies. If you listen to those accusations, if you listen to those lies, it is a losing battle. You have got to turn it off. You have got to turn it off and tune it out. And listen, you have to do the same thing with doubters and haters and naysayers. And while you're at it, why don't you do it with that inner critic who taunts you like Goliath inside as well? Who is the loudest voice in your life? It's got to be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit if you're going to make it out of the valley of giants. I already challenged you to make a worship playlist. Here's a second challenge. Download a daily Bible reading plan. Now, I use YouVersion on my phone. Every morning, I pop it open, and I work the plan. By the time I'm done this year, I will have gotten through the entire Bible. More importantly, the entire Bible will have gotten through me. Now, fun fact, David had a daily Bible reading plan. He didn't have a New Testament, but according to Deuteronomy 17, explicit instructions given for the kings of Israel, they were to do 3 things. 1, make a copy of the Torah in their own handwriting. 2, keep it on their person at all times. Now, he's not king yet, but it would not surprise me if David had a copy of his personal Torah on his person as he went out into that battlefield with Goliath. And 3, the king was commanded to read from it all the days of his life. Now, I'm not asking you to do 1 or 2. You don't have to make your own personal copy, and you can just use YouVersion if you want. But would you download a daily Bible reading plan? If you're gonna defeat the giants in your life, you might wanna do what David did. And this is where his confidence came from. And it's not a self-confidence, it's a holy confidence. It's a confidence that is anchored in the Word of God, that is anchored in the promises of God, that is anchored to God's character. Let me just say this. Over the last couple of weeks, we have rejoiced with those who have raised a hand at our online campus. You have said, hey, I want to take a step of faith. I want to begin this spiritual journey and follow Jesus. If you're new to this thing, the Bible is a pretty big book. In fact, it's 66 books written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. But the question is, where do you start? And so normally you'd start at the beginning, and that's fine. You can start in the book of Genesis, but I might recommend the Gospel of John. And I'll tell you why. It's a wonderful introduction to the miracles and the teachings of Jesus, and I think it's a great place to start your spiritual journey. Goliath is intimidating the Israelites in the Elah Valley. Meanwhile, David, 12 miles away in Bethlehem, is tending sheep, but he has a side hustle. He drives Uber Eats. Verse 17, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to your brothers at the camp. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. And so David makes this delivery and overhears Goliath taunting the Israelites, and he's not dismayed or afraid. He's flat out ticked off. Now, lots of subplots right here, but here's what I love. David doesn't see a 9-foot problem. He sees a 9-foot opportunity. Last week, shared a little bit about Joshua Chamberlain on Little Round Top Yells Charge. I've got to share one of my other favorite moments in American history. Bastogne, Belgium, December 1944. American troops are surrounded by German troops. The German field commander demands immediate surrender. And so the American general, Anthony McAuliffe, calls his troops together and says, men, we are surrounded by the enemy. We have the greatest opportunity ever presented in army. We can attack in any direction. I love this. If you're looking for an excuse, you will always find one. If you're looking for an opportunity, you will always find one. Can I tell you what a relationship with Christ means? It means all of our excuses are out the window. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Christ, you are nobody's underdog. You are more than a conqueror. Now, I love the way Frederick Douglass said this. He said, one in God makes a majority. You know what? We aren't going out onto these battlefields in our own strength, our own wisdom. We are going in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's where we find our identity, our authority, our security, and I might even say our super majority. Long story short, David is the only one who volunteers to fight Goliath. I don't want to discount God-given ability, but listen, every miracle, every ministry starts with availability. Can I just shout out our volunteers? I know that we're taking a break from our 7 campuses as we shelter at home, but so many of you have jumped in so many different ways. Can I just celebrate this? Our DC Dream Center, Ebenezer's Coffee House, we have now served more than 10,000 meals, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you, without your availability. And so David volunteers, and Saul says, there is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how rich. Doesn't matter how poor. Doesn't matter how strong. Doesn't matter how weak. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Can I give one more shout out? I love NCC Youth, love NCC Kids. Pastor Brooke leads NCC Youth. Pastor Nina, Pastor Amber leading NCC Kids. You know what I love? When we launch this 40-day prayer challenge, and it's not too late for you to get in on that game, you know what? I love the fact that our kids and our youth are a part of that mix. Listen, God is raising you up. God is calling you out. I want you to know you inspire me as David's and Daniel's and Esther's to keep on keeping on. Let me close with two simple thoughts. One, don't try to be who you're not. I think one of the funniest scenes in this episode, maybe this moment that Saul offers David his armor. Now, it's funny because Saul is head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel. And so can you imagine David going into the dressing room? Now, have you ever had one of these moments where you come out of a dressing room with something on and everyone laughs at you? Or is that just me? I can imagine David coming out of the dressing room. It does not fit. It's not even close. Like a tailor can't even fix this. Now, but I get it because listen, that armor would make him look bigger than what he really is. Are you tracking with me? And I get this because I wore a zoot suit in the 90s. But here's the deal. This isn't who David is. Saul had the best armor money could buy. And it's hard to say thanks, but no thanks to the king of Israel. This is a defining moment for David. I think David decides to be David. He says, I cannot go in these, for I have not tested them. It's a moment of truth. And David takes them off. Don't try to be who you're not. And two, remind yourself of who God is. The Lord, verse 37, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. I love the way that David connects the dots between the bears and the lions and the giants. When you pass a test, it becomes part of your testimony. And testimony, listen to me, testimony is prophecy. What do I mean? If God did it before, he can do it again. Remember what David said to Saul about his armor. He said, I have not tested them. In other words, Saul's armor was not David's testimony. David's testimony was a shepherd's sling. At some point, you have got to play to your strength, even if it looks like a weakness. Faith is connecting the dots between God's faithfulness in the past and bringing it to bear on our present tense circumstances. I want to invite our worship team to come and just share a couple of quick thoughts. Verse 48, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. If you want to get out of the valley of giants, you cannot run from, you have to run to. David doesn't wait for the battle to come to him. David charges the giant. I just think there has to come a moment where enough is enough. And today is the day where you stand on the promises of God. And that's what David does. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Right now, wherever you are, this day, the Lord will deliver. He can do it. He's done it before. He can do it again.
Wow, that was a powerful message from Pastor Mark Batterson. It's stirring my faith. I want to tag in here and finish the story. It says this about David. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and he stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword. He drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Listen, I know it's a little gruesome, but stick with me for a moment. The enemy is defeated. Do you know that the enemy is already defeated in your life as well? God has already taken down the giant so that you can live free, so that you can live whole, so that you can leave behind addictions, fears, struggles, and live inside His grace. If you're ready to take down some giants today, you're ready to walk in God's freedom, will you pray with me right now? Father, today's my day to slay some giants. I'm walking in your grace. I'm walking in your strength, your freedom. I'm leaving ways of sin behind. I'm leaving ways of fear behind. Addiction has to go. Confusion and doubt have to leave. I'm following you with my whole life. As we pray, I also want to pray with someone that's ready to give their life to Jesus. Perhaps you've never made this faith step or you've recently fallen away. But you know today is your day. If you'd like to place your faith in Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray with me in just a moment. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned, which means we've allowed the giants of life to take us out. We've missed the mark, and this sin, it separates us from God. But when Jesus was nailed to the cross, He took our punishment. When He rose up from the dead, He made it possible for us to receive new life. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. If that's you, why don't you pray with me? You can pray out loud or in your own heart, but you're ready to make this confession that you need God. Perhaps you've fallen away, or maybe you've never made this commitment, but today is your day. If that's you, would you pray with me something like this, out loud or in your own heart right now? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today, I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you with my whole life. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing over you and that decision you just made, and so do we as your church family. Please text the word STEPS to 94253 and let us know of your faith step. We'd love to celebrate with you. In a moment, we're going to worship the powerful name of Jesus. Before we do that, let me remind the Echo Kids families out there that we have a special service for you on our YouTube channel for Uptown and for Midtown kids. That's elementary and preschool. Also, if you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc or on the echochurch.cc app. Signups for summer picnics are underway. Last year, we called them summer dinner parties, and they'll be a little bit different this year. Text STEPS to 94253 and mark in the comments that you would like to participate, and we'll send you the options, and you can sign up for a picnic that fits your comfort level and your availability. Picnics can be pitch-in or they can be BYOP style, meaning bring your own picnic. Just text the word STEPS to 94253 and connect today. Hey, if you haven't already, I want to ask you to join us for Serve Day next Saturday, July 11th. We'll be bringing food and serving at pantries, distributing food all over Hendricks County. Our city is in need right now, and we're going to meet that need. Simply text the word STEPS to 94253, write Serve Day in the comments section, and we'll sign you up from there. Hey, we're so honored to spend Sunday with you. Follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you're not alone. We're in this together. As we trust God with our lives, God is faithful to build us up. Listen, let's take down some giants this week. Let's be God's hope to a world that's desperately searching.